The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? X1000 says, there is no second best. Yes, Bitcoin has been performing like the leader that it should be today. Very good, very good. I'm very enthusiastic about this move. I hope that it continues to new highs. Prut says, but Bitcoin back at 76K. It is good. Yeah, very good. For those who have succeeded at catching this wave properly, congratulations. We'll talk about Ye and self-cancellation. And someone on the Discord was asking, what do you think of the latest BTC debate? There is a big push right now to filter non-monetary data because it doesn't scale well and it poses a potential long-term decentralization risk. Personally, I have been for the idea that any data should be inscribable on the blockchain and that the blockchain should be a ledger for humanity. I've been very enthusiastic about inscriptions, about data fields that could be added and that could be forced into the carrying forward of the blockchain. If you make them uncarryable forward, then they're worth nothing. To me, monetary systems, anyways, are a messaging system in humanity. And it makes total sense. It's a natural extension of BTC to be carrying this function of recording data. And in fact, one could argue that we get this kind of free addition to the blockchain, this addition of entropy. Why not? Like, there are people who need to store data, and we're going to store arbitrary data anyway. We're going to store blocks anyway. So why not be inclusive here? And you want to be just inclusive as long as the price of transactions isn't massively affected. It doesn't become impossible to make transactions. So perhaps you want to charge a slight premium for data addition so that the blockchain preserves its initial transfer function. But there has to be space for people who are willing to pay to insert this data, and we're saving data anyway, and we're jungling with entropic data anyway to begin with, why not it be a JPEG that someone wants to communicate to the future of humanity? I am all for data inscription and ordinals and whatever you want to call it. Can he get two? Says from the Gripers, he sends $10. Thank you very much for the generous support. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the streamlabs.com/JFGtonight/tip link in the description below the video. It is my favorite platform for receiving support for the show, Streamlabs, and your Streamlabs super chat will be directly inscribed on the screen. Prut says Stripe is using stablecoins now via Bridge. Yes, there is an increasing trend for Stripe. They have some plan where they want to you have a wallet with stable coins and you can basically get fiat for it temporarily with kind of a loan system. You have stable coins, we're going to loan you actual USD. It's backed by your stable coins. Sure, I'm all for it. Heil Hitler by Ye has been out in its fully realized versions. One is more like a pop song version. One he calls the hooligan version, which is a one with the core of black men singing. And ultimately, it's a song about self-cancellation, and it's not so much about Hitler. Hitler is kind of a tool for Ye to make a message about how our society is canceling men right now and is putting them in a corner in which they have not much choice but to become more provocative. And I like the song because it tells kind of my story too. You know, I find myself in 2015 with an ex who lied to me because she told me she wanted to have a big family. And I was like, minimum two babies. And she was like, yeah, okay, minimum two babies. Because I don't want to make a baby with you if you're not going to follow up with two babies. Minimum. Okay, okay. And what does she do? She makes one baby and then she starts false allegations against me. That's the situation I found myself in 2015. A young man, you know, coming out of academia, with a reputation ruined by a fucking random woman who just fucked with me and didn't follow up on her promise. And so she wasn't even worth the sperm, because she would basically break my dream of having a big family. And, of course, I knew that it wasn't over, that I could move on and get another family, but I knew that the path there was filled with complications, because it's like every time the new woman will assume that the allegations of the last woman are true, and they were not true. So on the basis of absolute false allegation, I get deprived of seeing my own child forever by the courts under this woman's false allegation, claims that, oh, he's dangerous, he's gonna do something, oh, he's never done anything wrong, he's never committed a crime in his entire life, but he's gonna do it. I am in fear. And so there is a problem with this. There's a problem in society, and you have to respect Ye, because out of all the so-called based political people, a lot of people are avoiding the woman question way too much for comfort. There's a bunch of people out there, just because maybe they're in happy marriages or they just don't want to get into it, they completely leave aside the problem that our society is being plagued by delusional women and by courts that believe them. And a lot of the downstream political result of this involves even anti-Semitism and self-cancellation and cancel culture, because it's the beginning of cancel culture, this whole divorce thing, this process. So you have to give it to Ye, being at the forefront of the world, one of the most popular men in the world, and putting forth basically an MRA agenda in his songs is quite remarkable. And in fact, it is absolutely relevant to have lines of black people in this, black males in this video performance, because ultimately black males were the patient zero for testing family courts, for destroying the family. It eventually came to whites, but it started with poor black people. Because the whole extortion system of divorce courts is this. You're either going to spend millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars in lawyer fees, and you're not even going to get justice from it. You're just going to get maybe a chance at justice. You're going to get, oh yeah, well, you have to see your child in a cage monitored by the state for 2 years, because we're going to assume that you may be a risk. We're going to assume a pre-crime from you, we're going to assume that you are a danger, an abuser, and that you need monitoring. And if you go through these 2 or 3 years, then eventually you're going to be able to see your child once a week or once every 2 weeks in the weekends. And you're going to have zero control over their life, and you're going to have to abide by whatever the female chooses for his upbringing, the public school, because that's what female wants. They really don't want education, and they don't have a conception of knowledge or truth. They have a conception of integration, social integration. So to socially integrate your child, for your child to access the state of normiehood, he needs to be put in a public school, and that's what she's going to decide, and that's what the judge is going to side with. So we're stuck with this problem where the most important function of life, reproduction, and the parental bond between a father and child is completely interfered with in a way that makes our societies open sky prisons. Because let me tell you, there's not much difference between depriving me of my most important liberty and putting me in jail. You know, there's a way you can make life outside of jail more damned than life inside of jail. And it's if you take one liberty at a time, starting with the biggest one, the most important one, reproductive liberty. If you attack this in the real world, outside the jail, you might as well call the whole of society a jail. And this is what we find ourselves with. Me and Ye and other people, millions of men. And it's like, what do we do with this? And basically what this song tells you is, Heil Hitler. The answer to all this is Heil Hitler for various reasons. First, because Hitler is kind of the peak taboo. It is the peak taboo of our society. And you start thinking, well, if this society is so not fine-grained, so not high resolution, that it's going to take all males and say, you're all abusers, society is using what justice calls a blunt instrument. And a blunt instrument is basically a legal device or a policy that ends up putting way too many people in the same baskets as the criminals. And that is exactly what family courts do. Family courts are a blunt instrument. They just say, oh, well, there's all these women. They say blah, 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 blah. And there's all these males. Let's put these males in cage for 2 years and see if they can take care of their children. And this, the game theoretic response against a blunt instrument, and this is where a lot of normies have difficulty following up. When you are targeted by a blunt instrument, you must respond with an explosive response. And by explosive, I don't mean actual dynamite or actual home improvised explosive device. I mean that your response is going to lack resolution. It's like, if your response to family courts is just, oh, there's a minor problem in the way we need to start having a process for firing judges. And we're going to, out of the million judges that we have, if we could fire one or two, that should fix the family court problem. If your reaction to a blunt instrument is too specific, it's going to fail, because the system has various ways at getting back to the bias that it had initially. This is something that Trump should understand better, and unfortunately he doesn't understand. I see it in the DEI case. Like, do you realize that you can make DEI illegal, that you can write all these executive orders against DEI, but if you don't fix the problem in the heart of the fucking woman at the fucking human relations, working department. If you don't fix her, there's nothing that will fix the AI. She's gonna keep going. She's gonna keep having black male coming in, making their little speech of, "Oh yeah, I had it rough, but I'm looking for a second chance." And she's gonna keep doing the AI. She's gonna keep wanting to be the secret force and the mechanism that ends up fixing it. Fixing what she perceives as a racist society. So when you are faced with blunt instruments that have been developed not by a single defect in the system. Family Court cannot have emerged from a single defect in the system. It's way too inhuman. It's way too radical. It's way too industrial. The way in which they have systematized the hate against males, and the way it came with Me Too also, and female voting power, the way it forced itself into society, shows that you are faced with a blunt instrument that was desired. That there is a component of the system. Of course, this secret component is female vote. Remove female vote, and I don't think you get the family courts that you have today. But so the secret ingredient is female vote, and they're going to come at it in various ways. They're going to resurrect it, even if you were to try to fight against the worst abuses of it. Therefore, Ye's answer to this and my answer to this is the way to combat a corrupted system in full that is attacking you with a blunt instrument is an explosive response that tickles the very stability of the entire system. And this is where Heil Hitler comes. It's like, okay, I'm going to take... So you guys are... You normies are all siding with this sick system that's been considering me a criminal before I even committed a crime. And you're all siding with it. You're not having a political project to fix it. When I talk about it, you reject me from society. So I'm going to take what you most care about and I'm going to dangle it. I'm going to dangle its feet above the fire. I'm going to dangle what you find the most provocative subject ever. Because somehow, if there is a way to fix society, it must be by tickling this. If there is a bunch of people who are the very operators of this unjust, blunt instrument that has been plaguing society for the last decades, if all of these people have in common that they all kneel in front of the demand that Hitler be a taboo, and if none of these people want to listen to me, none of these people want a rational conversation about the lack of justice in our justice system, then I'm going to go to see the guy who they're all telling me, never listen to this guy, never read Mein Kampf, never believe that there's a single truth that Adolf Hitler can ever have said. This is what Ye is singing, basically. This is what he's telling us. So we're going to watch how he does it by looking at this hooligan version of the of Ye, Heil Hitler. So first, we see that there is the deep breathing of a black male who is naked torso. So naked torso here in the imagery of Ye might mean stripped of his dignity, but also ready for war, ready for battle, because the black male has been basically depossessed from the most important thing that he could be, which is a father, and he's now wearing the garments of war. The garments of hunters also. So there is a hunter component because all of these are animals that could have been hunted in the wild, monkeys, wolves. And so you have here the paternalistic figure deprived of his ability to influence his child. So here he's telling the story of his kids have been taken away from him. They canceled his bank accounts. I got so much anger in me, got no way to take it out. Think I'm stuck in a matrix when I fudge my nitrous. They got stuck in a matrix. Where the fuck is my nitrous? Now, this is something that is getting criticized out there. People want to point out, look, this is not a based song. This is not a trad conservative talking point. This is not, this is Ye. Ye is an artist drugged on nitrous oxide, okay? they live in the matrix. Where the fuck is my nitrous? So perhaps the nitrous is Ye's own matrix, a matrix of drugs and lies that he must live in because he has nothing else to do. Then he says, I guess I'm a cuck because I like it when people fuck my bitch. Again, this is not to be criticized as a trad conservative, socially conservative song. What does that mean? Not sure. Maybe it just means that he is a cuck. He does have some degree of enjoyment of cuckold porn or cuckold exchanges, seeing his wife be fucked by other men. And as a reminder, this whole CD is, this whole album is coming out with the revelation that Ye has had a troubled sexual teenage years where he was sucking the dick of his cousin. Eventually he decided that he didn't want to suck the dick of his cousin, and eventually his cousin ended up being a murderer of a pregnant woman and ended up in jail. Unconventional wisdom says he wants to escape the matrix using nitrous or numb himself to it. Yes, which is not the right way. It is the I enjoy the steak moment, you know. I enjoy the fiction of this steak more than an actual steak. Need for Life says he was talking about being a cuck with Sneeko and Nick Fuentes when they weren't aware they were live on stream. Okay, so that may refer to this event. I wasn't aware of this. So here he's talking about people are telling him not to say this or that. So that is one thing. The man on a path of self-cancellation, I've experienced it too. We start being annoyed. Like, it's okay, there's too many rules for speech here. At this point, you are stopping ourselves from reaching the truth. It's like, okay, I can take some degree of etiquette. I understand that in the way humans form sentences, there will be aspects of politeness. You don't want to be too aggressive. But when you ask me to self-deceive about race, when you tell me basically there is no way in which you can speak of this subject, we're going to ban you no matter what you say about this subject, then I'm starting to detect a blind spot in society. And then I'm starting to say, okay, this system needs to be crashed down. The Jack Acid says, I have not understood one word so far. Is he speaking Ebonics? Yes. With all of the money and fame, I still can't get my kids back. With all that money and fame, I still can get my kids back. With all of the money and fame, I still don't get to see my children. He's repeating it. So this tells me that it's an important component of the song. This is the problem. How is it that we have here a billionaire who's never committed a crime to my knowledge? How is it that he doesn't have access to his children? Well, that is the problem. That is the problem I'm in. That is the problem millions of men are in. What the fuck has happened with society that it will systematically... And on top of it, it's a society that claims to be liberal, that claims to be open-minded, that claims to be, oh yeah, we're all about cognitive diversity. Well, you can't even tolerate the cognitive diversity of the male mind. You can't even tolerate half of humanity. And you're going to tell me that you're an example of tolerance and liberalism? You can't even tolerate the existing diversity of the white male mind, of the male mind in this case, because he's black and he's in the same trouble as I am. You can't even see that males have a way to interact with their rights, which is under punishment by family courts. That men have their way to parent children. And sometimes it is different than females, but it is not worse. In fact, arguably, it's better. Because children from single mom do worse than children from single dads. There is something here that is completely ignored by family courts. there is a problem into how our society processes the idea that a man may be able to care for children in ways that you don't understand, you females, that you may not have control over, and that in fact you having control over it will ruin it. That is something that needs to be said, and the fact that we have a billionaire out there who had all of the means to potentially have his rights defended, even him cannot have them defended. Well, how can I then? How could I win a family court case as a man if a billionaire can't? So he says, people are seeing my Twitter, but they don't see how I be feeling. So here there is a separation between the mind of the performer and the performance. Twitter is a performance. Twitter is a public outlet in which I can create public art. It's not necessarily me. It's not necessarily how I feel. And so he says, so I'm going to become a Nazi, bitch. I'm the villain. Nigga, how Hitler? Nigga, how Hitler? They don't understand the things I say on Twitter. Nigga, how Hitler? They don't understand the things I say on Twitter. All my niggas Nazis, nigga, how Hitler? Nigga, how Hitler? Nigga, how Hitler? All my niggas Nazis, nigga, how Hitler? She wanna fuck in Japan. Okay, so... Greatest Whitest North says this song is unironically good. It's like a reflection. It's not necessarily you talking about Twitter. Yeah, I agree with this. So there is kind of a synth aspect of this transition, which is not quite natural. It doesn't feel like I'm listening to a full prepared song. Kind of unprofessional. And people have been criticizing the musical aspect of it here. But there is also, it's kind of Ye's genius to be mixing synth with orchestral arrangement. And we are hearing these violins that come in and... And there is something good, something interesting and experimental with this song going on. There is a lack of movement in the video. You know, you can see that this has been done on a relatively small budget, of course. You can't have choreography. But I think that at the same time, it is these men are making a statement with their body in a way that, you know, thank God there's no choreography, because what could be the choreography of the broken that expresses the injustice made to these men, who probably are all fathers or all could have been fathers at some point or had a shot at being fathers, and therefore have been processed because of the high divorce rate in the Black community. Most likely, most of these people have been processed through an unjust system. And there is something to see them as kind of an army of Northmen, basically, because why would an African be wearing a wolf cover? You know, wolves are winter animals that are not, you're not going to find them that much in Africa. You're going to find them in northern positions, and it's therefore a European thing. A European or Native American thing to be wearing wolves parts. So there is something confusing here, but at the same time, telling the message. Here's a bunch of men who, just like Ye, have been deprived of their rights, and they have nothing left but to fight in an explosive manner. When you are faced with a blunt instrument, you know, explosive response is the best thing you can do. So that's the story that is told by this song. I think it's an important song. I think it's a very important subject. And I'm thankful that Ye is bringing it forward when many other are not. Many conservative commentators have no skin in the game into fixing the system that kidnaps children, that literally kidnaps children systematically from men. And the woman gets coached on how to say the false allegation. She gets coached on exactly what she has to say. Abuse, undefined abuse, in a ways that will never be verifiable. She can never be found to have lied. But the judge is going to believe her and systematically take the children from the father. Yeah, so very thankful that Ye is pushing this when people aren't. I put the crumb on the bench. She reaching down to my pants. She got the world in her hands. So then of course Ye starts saying, I put the chrome on a bench. What does that mean? I'm not sure. I'm not a Black guy. Is it the case that chrome means a aesthetic enhancement of a car? So if he says, I put the chrome on a Benz, is he saying that he put a aesthetic enhancement on a cheap car? Is a Benz a good car? I don't know. If he says, I put the chrome on a Benz, and Benz is known as a cheap car, I guess that would mean I put some shine on Adolf Hitler. I'm putting the chrome on a Benz. I'm kind of enhancing Hitler, which is seen as low level in society. On the other hand, if a Benz is known as a luxury car, and it's a car that Ye respects, then you could also see it that I put the chrome on a Benz. I'm shining the great Adolf, you know. I'm adding chrome wheels to the Adolf Hitler train. Come in, Nazis and niggas, join me in that Hitler train. Perhaps that's what he meant. And then it's like, she put her hands in my pants. She has the world in her hands, something like this. I guess that means once you're deprived from your children, you get good sex, which is true. Because then if you go on the path of revolution, there's going to be other females that are attracted to you, and you can find females of quality later in life. But it shouldn't be that way. that you have to go basically on a campaign of revolution against society to elevate yourself as in your social status as a male to encounter eventually a decent female. It should be the case that marriage gives you some protection. But I guess that, yes, you do get hands in your pants once you say Heil Hitler. Blimpy Supervisor says, Heil Hitler would be the black way to say it. Okay. Heil Hitler. So that's pretty much it. That's the song. It's an important song because at the same time, it's on the album World War III, where people are questioning, anyways, even without it being a provocative outburst coming from a life of despair in an unjust world, a world where you can get no justice. Even without this element, it is important because people are questioning the legitimacy of Jewish power in the American system, and Ye is totally in line with this and pushing this to heights that it was never pushed before. There's a question about whether this song will be censored by the censors of the internet, because, I mean, there's been decades of the N-word used in rap songs. So it's like, and in this particular song, the N-word is interspersed with Heil Hitler. So even if you were to ban this song, what would you ban it for? It's already banned, I believe, says Mr. Wisco. Well, I'm sure that the song will make its own ways through X and through various channels, and in a way it's also good if the song gets banned, because we're talking about someone who's unavoidable. People will have put their hands on this song no matter what, and it helps people like me who have been trying to develop parallel systems of free speech, trying to free ourselves from the limits of YouTube, and someone like you can actually amplify and help the growth of these parallel channels. Blimpy Supervisor says, this one time at band camp. Okay, so you are making an American Pie reference from an old American Pie movie. Is that what it is? But you're also mixing it with my pronunciation of band as band. So now we are in the band camp where the sexy woman who's naive is talking about how she was sucking dicks while learning trombone. Is that the space we're in, Blimpy? Is that how you're feeling? Doc Yu says, is Ye pronounced as you, like Jew? No, I don't think it is. I think that Ye is pronounced more like a French way, because with an accent. I think it's, I pronounce it ye with an accent, like ye in Quebecois, we would say. I believe that given the two letters forming the word, you have to give it a kind of Haitian, Creole island type of pronunciation, which is why I use the ye with an accent. So what else? What else in the news? New York Mayor Eric Adams does a victory lap as new state rules are making it easier to force mentally ill into treatment. Look at the looseness of the new rules, okay? Normally you had to be a risk of physical harm to yourself or others to be forced into the psychiatric hospital. Now, to put you in, and this is what, don't go to New York anymore. Don't go there. To be put in forced psychiatry in New York, you now need to respect the following. You need to have an inability or refusal as a result of their mental illness to provide for your own essential needs such as food, clothing, necessary medical care, personal safety, or shelter. This means if you are walking on the streets, you have no shelter. Well, you therefore do not want to provide yourself with a shelter. Perhaps you are homeless by choice. You can be sent into the psychiatry. If you don't want to provide yourself with necessary medical care, vaccines, for example, necessary vaccines are very, very important. You don't want vaccines? Well, you have a mental illness. This mental illness is bigotry. It is conservatism. It is republicanism. We're sending you to the psychiatric hospital. If you don't provide for your own essential need in food or clothing. Okay, clothing, I get it. You're naked on the streets. But food? What if you're deciding that you are on a diet? What if you are deciding that you are fasting? Well, you are not providing for your own essential needs. You can be sent to the psychiatric jail. This has been a massive hole in the law. These probate courts, they can kidnap people dangerously, extremely dangerous. Liberty is not being given the respect that it deserves in these courts. It's all about the desire of the leftist judge to help you. Ah, let's fix his life. Let's make him better. But it's always in the leftist pro-intervention direction. And ultimately, if you have too many options for the state to take you into an hospital, you don't have liberty. While I was gone yesterday on break, Shiloh Hendricks reached $750,000. I think I might try to give the campaign a kick by giving another 50. I've already given 50. I really wanted to reach $1 million. I think that Shiloh, see, what did she do? And this is why this show is important. What did Shiloh Hendricks do? Well, she fought a blunt instrument, which is cancel culture, with an explosive response. And that is how it should be done. Same thing with democracy, by the way. Democracy is a blunt instrument. This whole idea that these retards around me can decide whether what I do is legal or illegal is the sickest thing humanity has ever come up with, okay? And yet it is given so much respect. But democracy is a blunt instrument because down the line, it's all about whether 50% of the people around you want to put you in jail. Now, our laws make sense still up to now. We have, you know, laws that still make sense. But there is no guarantee under democracy that it will stay that way. And you can see it in the growth of the state, the growth of welfare, of dependence. The people vote themselves ridiculous amounts of care and justices, just like we saw in the family court. So Shiloh Hendricks, just like Ye, is fighting a blunt instrument, is saying, hey, this way cancel culture cracks down on all white people and basically ignores even worse attacks on life and liberty by black people, that is a problem and it needs an explosive response. The explosive response was to call a child the N-word, and it worked. We have another Gibson Go, which is this guy Look, I'm not going to give to this give and go. Mohamed Mokan. So his claim is that he was the guy filming the video in the Dave Portnoy bar that led to the sign "Fuck the Jews" being shown, and that led to Dave Portnoy going on a campaign against these young people and trying to apparently succeeding at getting some to a trip to Auschwitz so that they can learn about the Jews and learn about the religion of the Jews, which is Auschwitz. I would like him to make some money with this because he was filming and he put it on his Instagram. And okay, he put "fuck the Jews" on his Instagram. Now, he didn't do the sign. That's the first thing. Secondly, he's not white. He's Muslim. So I don't feel racially solidary to him. So I'm not going to give. Thirdly, he is merely the guy who put it on Instagram, the video. He's not the guy who made the sign "fuck the Jews." So for these reasons, and there's this kind of a bullshitting aspect to his text where he's kind of presenting all sorts of cancellation measures that he's been hit with. But it is argued that those are not that the Dave Portnoy event is not why he was kicked of the university. He would have been kicked of the university for making an anti-Semitic joke at some other moment. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't care, but I don't appreciate the deception here, where he's like, oh, well, I'm a victim of Dave Portnoy, but to what extent are you a primary victim in this? To what extent have you? Now, actually, I was doubting his narrative that he was a victim of Dave Portnoy until stupid Dave Portnoy came out on his Twitter and seems to be confirming that he did offer an Auschwitz trip to this guy, which makes me like him. Okay, if you've been asked to kneel to Jewish power in some form, I'm sympathetic to you. So that's why I'm happy if this guy makes 25K. Because he appears to have been proposed a disgusting Auschwitz trip in a disgusting setting where he was basically being extorted because Dave Portnoy is like, well, we're going to get you in trouble if you don't do this. So I'm happy if he makes the money, but because I'm not a Muslim and I'm not from his race, I don't feel like it's my place to be making the payment for making it happen. Sneed for Life says, apparently that was not him who poured water on the homeless man. I don't know about this story, never heard about it, so no, I wouldn't assume that he did anything wrong. I don't know. In any case, it's all about, well, does this guy deserve $1 million like Shiloh Hendricks? No. Because the guy who amplifies is not the guy who creates the event. Shiloh Hendricks created the event. This guy is merely a journalist who happened, well, a journalist, like a TikToker, basically, who happened to be there to film this sign. A mass exodus is hitting D.C. as Trump's 280,000 federal job cuts trigger the largest surge in homes for sale in history. The swamp is literally draining by U-Haul. Here's what's happening. So yeah, basically, when you cut, the money flows in D.C. People can't afford their mortgage anymore, and this is where I love it when people can't afford their mortgage because it's reality coming back to the economy. Because people like me, you know, I make a great life, good living, thanks to you guys' generosity with the super chats across the years, buying my book, which allowed me to get Bitcoin, which allowed me to make more money. I've had a wonderful life. But it's been rougher because of the real estate crap that is being pulled against me, which is that these fucking fakes, zombies of the government, are paying themselves salaries that keep increasing and increasing forever. And they inflate the whole system. And they're like, oh, here's a black woman. Let's give her $500,000. And this creates unaffordable housing in a lot of places. So I'm very happy when these people who are the fakesters, who are the people who benefit from an artificial non-economy, when these people fail, there is a chance at least that we're going to get back to reasonable real estate housing prices. The first official portrait of Pope Leo 14. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Pope Leo 14, the first American pope, a man from Chicago. Isn't it interesting that Chicago is becoming the ground zero of a fight within Catholicism, where Nick Fuentes is pushing a based Catholicism, and then you have a Leo 14 coming from Chicago too?
Is this mass rejection of Jewish power real, or is by design to strip America of free speech?
It's a good question. Whether the current enthusiasm about anti-Zionism is real, I think it's real. I think there is very strong signs coming from the survey world that there is a generational shift happening and that we're never going back. I think there is a young generation rising right now into adulthood that will not be as gullible to Jewish propaganda as the boomers were. And I don't think the Jews are ever getting it back, which is great. It's really great because it means down the line, year after year, my work gets easier. Naturally, people converge toward those opinions that I've been trying to push for 10, 15 years. So it's looking very good. And personally, because of the survey of new generations and their political shifts, I think it's real. And in fact, I think we're starting to see Trump, even Trump himself, is starting to find the Jews annoying. We're going to get to it later. So yeah, what do I think about this pope? Well, I don't really care about popes. To me, the popes are the supervisors of a too broadly inclusive church anyways. And this church fails at standing for moral values and at keeping society together in any meaningful way. Like, you have an entire south of America that is filled with people who are Catholics. So this is a place where this church, the Catholic Church, dominates. And yet, their society crumbles to lack of property, criminality, gangsters, etc. And even the gangsters will tell you they believe in God. At this point, what does it mean to believe in God if you believe in God while also committing sins? That's the problem of a too broadly inclusive religion. And that's exactly what Catholicism is. Catholicism, the problem is, from the root, it's an attempt at dominion, at domination over the minds of people through persuasion, through inclusivity into their club. It's very different from the way, I would say, some local churches, local denominations of English churches work. Because they work by continuity. They work by intergenerational continuity. You have churches in America in the Protestant tradition or other traditions where you're going to see three generations of people in the same church. They've given birth to each generation down the line and they're still at the same church. Whereas the problem of the Catholic Church is that, yes, it's kind of surviving inevitably through some degree of reproduction. And historically, in fact, it's been helping colonialist efforts. Like it was the Catholic priests were knocking on doors in Quebec to say, "Hey, make more babies." Now that was back in the days, but it's not what the new church is. The new church is more like how do we attract people to our church? And that's the problem of persuasion. Now, it's very different to be growing into a church from intergenerational passation to connecting into an existing church as an adult, as a choice. And the problem is to reach that point of wide acceptance, the Catholic Church had to soften itself to the point of literally pushing LGBT stuff. And literally pushing immigration policies and approach. Example, this guy, who is now the Pope, has been favorable to helping illegal migrants, has been critical of Trump, although he's been voting Republican because he's anti-abortion. So in the end, you find yourself with a mix of basically liberalism so much that the Catholic Church doesn't have much to bring to save America in the modern world. That's my view, so that's why I don't care about this Pope or about the Catholic Church in general. Cat Lady Genocide says, "When more whites left the church, they became more willing to import replacement from non-white countries." Yeah, that's exactly how I see the Catholic Church. The problem is that a white genocide could and will happen under the supervision of the Catholic Church, and you won't even experience it as a war. It's just the slow replacement of the white, truly European style of living and kind of independent, freedom-loving American way of life by a Catholic, Hispanic, slightly tanned, Mexican-looking, tacos-loving replacement. And all of this can happen under the Catholic Church without them seeing any problem with it. That is a big problem to me. Okay, while I was gone from the internet, people allowed themselves attacks on race that are absolutely ridiculous. Joel Berry says, "Race isn't real, unchanging, or God-ordained in the same way that gender is real, unchanging, and God-ordained." This is so ridiculous. Because whether something is unchanging has never been the question. It's only in the case of race that people are saying, "Oh, well, race could change." Well, okay, let's talk about other things that could change. Species could change. A duck doesn't have to be a duck forever. Maybe one day ducks will grow into dinosaurs and evolve in that direction. It's not because something can change that it's not real. And God ordained. Well, that is in his own vision of what God has ordained. A huge mistake being made by many on the right today. Just because some human categories are real doesn't mean that all human categories are equally real. Well, you know, Matt Walsh had a good response to this, which is there's no such thing as equally real or degrees of realness. What the fuck are you talking about? Something is real or it's not real. There's no... maybe it's slightly more real than this. There's never been such a thing. There is probabilistic. There are things that are probable, possible. There's nothing that is more real than something else. In truth, race is about as real as the caste system in India. Not true. If I take two castes in India, they are much less differentiated than if I take the genes of a European, compare them with an African. The genetic distance is like, I think you'd get something like 100-fold. There's 100-fold more difference between a European and an African than there is between separate castes of Indians. So absolutely not true that race is as real as the caste system. I mean, as real. And again, it's like, oh, well, you pivoted here. You were using equally real, and now you're using as real, but you still haven't defined what makes something equally real or realer than something else. It's certainly not a good comparison. Honor God-ordained categories, keep man-made categories in an open end. Well, that is absolutely ridiculous. Pickup trucks are human-made categories. The Bible doesn't mention pickup trucks, yet they exist. James Lindsay has never really looked into it, says Keith Woods. Yeah, so James Lindsay, meanwhile, was attributing the difference between races as things like childhood nutrition, especially access to sufficient high-quality fats, and cultural circumstances that take advantage of childhood neuroplasticity through emphasis on study, etc. How are we back to this? We have solved all of this back years ago. We've had these debates. There is no argument for this view of the black person being elevatable, but unfortunately society doesn't want to do it. No. We tried literally taking black children, putting them in white families, giving them the same childhood nutrition. We've looked at the socioeconomic status, and what if we take only the richest black family and those that have access to better food and education? And the gap is still there. So this has been explored starting from Charles Murray and Einstein in the bell curve up to the debates of the internet blood sports of 2017. There is no high quality fat special diet that you can put a black child on that will lead him to be less of a murderer or higher IQ. Those things appear to be caused by genes and by inheritable factors. Unbelievable that we have to repeat it again. Nicolas Fuentes was cheerful, and I am to a certain extent. Certainly, the signs are good on the side of Trump that he's getting tired of the Israeli subversion and that he's less responsive to it, less kneeling to it. There is a planted story in the press this week that Trump cut off Netanyahu due to his intransigence on normalization with Saudi Arabia and his attempts to force Trump's hand on Iran. I doubt that Trump will abandon Israel completely, but there is clearly something to this story, as evidenced by recent developments like the firing of Mike Waltz and truce with the Houthis. Trump has also restarted negotiations with Iran, scheduled for this Sunday, and has proposed a deal with Saudi Arabia that will allow them to develop a civilian nuclear program without normalizing relations with Israel. That would be big, that Trump decided to go on his own way. I hope that this is the case, and that he decided to go toward peace rather than serving the Israeli interest. That would be absolutely beautiful, but with Trump you have to be careful. Because who knows whether these stories are planted or it's a way to change our perceptions. I don't know. Dominic Michael Trippi was saying President Trump reportedly cutting contact with PM Benjamin Netanyahu due to arrogance, attempts to push him around, causing Trump to feel disrespected and manipulated. If true, again, that is excellent. But how is it that you got awakened by Jewish arrogance in 2025? How exactly does that happen? How, Trump? Like, this was pretty clear. We've been telling you, Nick Fuentes has been telling you, we've been constantly warning you. you are headed for a clash and you will either kneel to them or it's not going to be beautiful. But yeah, now Trump, I would watch for your security at this point. I would ensure that you have all of the secret agents around you to protect you, because this is exactly the kind of circumstance in which the Jews get pissed and they get you killed. Doc Yu says, are people with a J in their full name more likely to be obsessed with the Jews? Nicolas J. Fuentes, Jean-François Gary AP, David Duke has no J. I'm sorry. Vance, US-Iran talks are on the right pathway. So that's probably Vance coming out in the press to kind of join this whole anti-Israel mood that the government seems to be in. We have Janine Pirro, you know, this Fox News analyst, is now becoming United States attorney for the District of Columbia. Okay. I know that she has this view of strongly applied, you know, strong principled, strong law, law and order type of personality. So I think it's good. I don't know to which extent she's trustable. I don't know if she'll do a good job. Isn't she old a little bit? But yeah. Hopefully she... maybe she's going to go on a path of vengeance against Democrat corruption. That would be something to see. Trump urges the GOP to raise taxes on the wealthy to fund the economic agenda. I'm so blackpilled because all of these savings that we were supposed to do with the government, and you still want higher taxes? How is that possible? Why do we get a right-wing government, and they also want higher taxes? The left-wing wants higher taxes. The right-wing wants higher taxes. That means everyone is left-wing. Everyone is a statist. They're all after just taking your money and wasting it. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Thank you for being here, and I'll see you all tomorrow.